Hello and welcome to The On-Call Room,
a Grey's Anatomy podcast.
I'm Abby.
I'm Bree.
And it's a beautiful day to podcast. Welcome everyone to our Grey's Anatomy deep diving podcast. We are currently in season 19, episode 11 and 12. We're working our way through. If you've never watched the show before, I highly recommend you go back and start at our pilot. Watch along with us. However, we are a spoilers podcast, so if you don't want to know what happens, maybe watch the entirety of Grey's. It's all on Netflix. Watch that first and then come back and join us. We also have some like fun reaction episodes in there. It's a mixed bag. If you have re-listened to us and you need more, we can talk to you a little bit about our Patreon where you can support us. Bree, take it away.
I'm going to take it away. So Patreon, great website. It helps us, the creators of The On-Call Room, continue to put out content for you guys. Turns out running a podcast is not free. So your support really helps us. And if you support us, you can either donate $2, $5, or $10 a month, become an intern, resident, or attending. And by doing that, we provide additional benefits for you. So if you are a $10 attending, you get the episode a day early, you get it without ads, and you get what we call post-op, which is after we call time of death. We continue to talk for 5 to 10 minutes after the episode. Tonight, we're talking about Maxine and Norma. So if you loved their storyline, you have to be a $10 patron in order to hear that. $5 patrons get bonus episodes. $2 patrons and above get a holiday card. And I really want to talk about this week. So
talk about it.
Okay. So coming in your Patreon mailbox, AKA probably your email, because I'm assuming that's where it goes. We will be sending out a link to our postable. Now, I'm going to put this in the email, but every year this happens. And so I'm really going to ask the listeners here, if you have received a postable card in the past year, like last year or years prior, and you have not moved, do not add your information again. I already have your information. Now, if you are new this year to Patreon, welcome. Thank you. Please add your information and your address. Or if you've moved, you can add it again and I'll just go edit and take out your previous address. Last year, we had a lot of people who like just added it back in. And that causes, love you guys, but it causes additional work for me. So just know if you've received a card in the past and you haven't moved, you're all set to go.
Yep. We got to take that photo soon. We got to get creative.
We do. Maybe we can do something having to do with pregnancy. I'm not pregnant.
Should I be on the table and you can cosplay as a doctor?
Oh, I like that. Thing? I'll have those dish rubber gloves on.
Yeah, that'd be perfect. That's just who I am now. I'm just a belly that has taken over my body.
Wait, hold on. We got to play this out here. Your feet in the stirrups, but what would it say?
I have a viewpoint. The viewpoint would be like you're looking into the abyss of my crotch, but you wouldn't be able to see anything because we'd put like a message there and I'd be like peeking out from behind my legs and then you would be like peeking out on the other side and it would be like, new host coming soon. Merry Christmas.
That's good.
I don't know.
That's good. I weirdly had a vision of it was like you stirrups, but like, and then bed and me, like the photo, but I'm like, it's my back, but I'm turning towards the camera, like looking back and I have glasses on and they're on the bottom of my nose. I don't know why, but that's how I envisioned it.
I also see something where like when Amelia gives birth and Bailey's behind her.
Oh, I could be behind
situation
you.
Situation like that. Yeah. Whatever, you're like, you're my support system. However, in this situation, I would like an epidural. So, who knows what you'll get? It also could just be a very nice portrait of us.
Yeah. It might not be a cosplay of us being in the hospital with you giving birth. It might be. We just don't know what's going to happen yet.
We do not. So yeah, please join us. It's patreon.com/theoncallroom. Also, you can follow us on Instagram at theoncallroompod. We do have a website. I don't know. You can check it out. It hasn't been updated in a while, but it's theoncallroompod.com. You can get all of those links there as well. And please, if you cannot support us monetarily, rate and review us on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen. It means the world to us. I don't know. How's it going? It's the holiday. Do you consider this the holiday season, Brie?
I am considering it to be. Yeah.
Yes. Me too. I am as well. I'm in this year.
You know what? It's really interesting because I feel like at least in West Michigan here, people have started decorating earlier than normal. And I have a theory. It's because it snowed on Halloween. And so I think people got like, oh, my God, it's Christmas time. Because my neighbor across the road is showing me up. I still have all my fall decor outside, but he has all his Christmas stuff up. And he hasn't been lighting his light. So I think he put it out when the weather was warm enough to do. Yep. But again, Jason is like pissing me off. I'm like, dude, like, because all my moms are dead. So I just have like kind of a mom graveyard on my porch. And he has like beautiful Christmas across the street. But currently, I'm drinking my coffee out of a Grinch coffee mug.
You're there.
I am in the holiday season. The whole upstairs is decorated. The bathroom.
I was going to say, if only Jason could see your upstairs.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're fully like, it is Christmas upstairs, but it's still fall downstairs because we get a real treat and we don't get that till the day after Thanksgiving. So I think today I might start working on garland and stuff in the kitchen. I've just realized, like, I can't do a weekend or one day decorating anymore. I have too much stuff. I have now moved to the upstairs. I have to do it because I used to always do it the day after Thanksgiving. And now I've got my planters. I have two Christmas trees. I have Christmas bedding. I changed my curtains in my bedroom because they didn't match my garland.
Yeah, that blew me away. I was like, wait, she put different curtains up because I know your yellow ones wouldn't have matched.
They wouldn't have matched. And I wasn't going to, but our friend Reva came over and she was like, I really hate to say this, but you need different curtains. And I was like, God damn it. I thought I could get away with it. But luckily, I got the curtains for free with Kohl's cash. So it was totally fine. I didn't have to spend any extra money. John was very proud of me.
Is that what you told John? I was going to say, is that also?
He was very proud of me. He's like, good job, dear.
I have some shocking news to tell you. And I think that it is, although I don't know even where we could go. Jake and I have discussed getting our tree tomorrow.
Wow.
He hasn't been working. He's been sick. And so we have like a couple days still where he doesn't have to go to work. And like, I mean, Thanksgiving's next week. It's not that far away. But we have a full day tomorrow where like neither of us have anything. And we've been sort of nesting as far as in the baby room.
Yeah.
And I just fear that the further I get along, it'll be harder to decorate. Also, we want to clean out our basement. And so like having to go down and get the Christmas decor will like make us have to go downstairs.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We're thinking about it. I was also like, do tree farms open yet? Like, actually don't know.
A lot of them open on Thanksgiving weekend. So I bet you could go to like, I know this is ridiculous, but you could go
the
to
woods.
Like, you could just go to the woods, Abby. No, you could go to like Home Depot or.
Yeah.
Like Kingma's or something.
Yep. That's where I usually end up going because I'm always last minute. Yeah. I wonder, and I mean, or I could do the other things and not do the tree yet. There's a lot. Just Thanksgiving weekend itself is very busy. And so I won't be able to do it then. But I have a vision this year also. Jake and I fight every year about white versus colored lights.
Yeah.
And we rotate. But I'm having a renewed sense of like a style that I want this year. And I'm going to embrace the colored lights. However, they have to be incandescent and they have to be the ones that have pink and orange. They can't be the blue LED. I don't like those. And so I'm going to find those. Also, it's good to get lights now before like you try to go in 2 weeks and there's none left. So I'm going to get those and with a couple of strands of white twinkly ones that I have. Uh-huh. So a little mixed. And then I'm going to tie colored bows to the tree, like little thin. I'm going to go to like Michael's or somewhere and do a bunch of like I'm going for Whoville.
Yeah, I really like this vibe. That's great. I love that. I have a bit of like envy for people who can lean into like the colorful, like eclectic Christmas.
Uh-huh.
Because all of my stuff does not go that way. And like,
Your stuff is beautiful though. Like your stuff is like beautiful.
I can't like, but the thing is with that, you can't just add a little like piece of that in. Like, it does not go with my style of Christmas. Like, if I had, right. like, your, like, mantle is so cute. I love it so much. But, like, if I were to throw that in my house, it would be like, why is that there?
Yeah. And I think that's because, like, my walls are white there and I have white bookshelves with colored books. So I think I just need to, like, every time I try to do this, like, beige, beautiful, elevated Christmas, the rest of my house is not yeah. that way. So it, like, doesn't go. So I'm just trying to embrace. Soon there's going to be children's shit all over my house, which is colorful and not aesthetically pleasing. And I think I just need to lean into it versus fight it, is my opinion.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great idea. I will say right now, if you were thinking about Christmas lights, and maybe you consider ordering online, because but Target yeah. right now is already running their Black Friday sales, and all their Christmas Perfect. Stuff is like 40% off. I have 10 packages of lights in my cart right now because they're all out in the store. So, like, if yeah. you order them online and they're like 100, they're the 100 packs. Strands. And so they're only $1.80 right now, which you can't get that anywhere.
No, that's a great price. I was just so inspired. I've been trying to, there's that store. I don't know if it's local or if it is like all over the place. It's called At Home. Do you ever pass it on 28th Street? It's got like, it's a blue logo with like a house in the word at.
I know what you're talking about, but I've never been there.
Okay, I've never been in, but that is where the people, this is a very local niche conversation. There's a store by us that does an incredible job of flipping their store for Christmas, and it's very fun and quirky. Mm-hmm. All of the things they use to decorate their store are from that place.
Oh, that's cool. That's fun.
Yeah. So I got the inside scoop and I was blown away by their website, how much stuff they have. And their garland was so cheap and like looked pretty nice.
Should we go?
And so I would like to go because I would like to get some tinsel garland. Like that's yeah. what I'm going for. You know, 80s tinsel.
Yeah. Also, like Michael's right now has some tinsel garland if you didn't find it at home.
Oh, love.
I have one more thought about this. This is also kind of a niche little story, but so that place you were talking about, Rebel, that store. I don't know if you saw, but they posted on their stories this like ceramic, what, you know, tiny houses, right? Mm-hmm. This ceramic.
The tiny, tiny one?
The tiny, tiny house. So it was a tiny yes. village that went inside your village. And they were like miniature ceramics. And I was like, I need this. So I commented and I messaged them and I was like, how much is that? And I was on the list of people who got to them first. And there was a wait list of people, but unfortunately, it was like $38.
Yeah, their shit's not cheap.
And I hemmed and hawed, and then I decided to bring it to John. And I knew if I brought it to John, he would say,
he's going to say no.
He was going to say no. And I needed him to say no because I didn't need to spend yes. $38 on a tiny, tiny village. So I told him, and I was like, I just really want to run this past you. This is a no, right? And he was like, if it were any other year, I would say go for it. But like, right. you're starting your job soon. So like, maybe not this Christmas. And I said, okay, fine. And then what made me feel better was rereading the message and knowing that other people were on a waiting list. And so someone was going to be really happy that I passed that up. And they got it. So
you know what, Bree? That's the Christmas spirit.
It really, you know, that is not the Grinch. That is, I mean, that's the Grinch when his heart grew and expanded.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
Now I'm like Googling. I'm like, surely, clearly they bought that from somewhere. You know what I mean? Like,
I know.
Like they, and I'm like, where, I'm like, what if it was like Michael's? But I'm yeah. like trying to, I'm going to find you a tiny, tiny village.
A tiny, tiny village. I bought from Michael's a little miniature of cookies and milk that I'm going to put in my kitchen. I have like for fall, I have like a little pumpkin pie that's super tiny that sits on my shelf. And I got a cookies and milk one. I'm like very into miniatures right now because they're so cute.
I love that. I love yeah. that for you. I mean, you have the space for miniatures still. You don't have the space for like large pieces anymore.
right. I feel
you have
that.
To you have to move small. So I understand this.
Oh my God. That's why don't I had worry. To move upstairs because I had too yeah. much shit. So
I'm so jealous of the size of your house right now. Yesterday while we were like doing the nursery, I was like, this house is too fucking small. Like there's just no like things like rooms are no longer themes. Like my office is now a college dorm. It has a twin bed in it. It has a sewing table, an office table, a TV, a piece of furniture that doesn't have a spot.
Yeah.
My bike is now in the basement. Like There's not like, this is a guest room and it's just a guest room. It's like, this is a college dorm room. And the nursery, I guess, and the bedroom are still just like, that's all that they are. But, oh, also in my office is my entire like getting ready station because our bathroom doesn't have storage. So I get ready in my office. So there's just no, we're running out of space, but I also like don't want to move. That sounds awful.
No, I get it. Well, and it's funny you said like, I'm so jealous of how big your house is because I feel like our house isn't big enough. And it's just John and me living here. I'm like, too small. We need more space. I need more space for Christmas.
Closing in on it. Are you going to, you're not doing a porch tree because you didn't, upstairs tree.
I'm doing a porch tree. I got the Costco tree for my birthday from John. Do you know which tree?
Oh, wow.
It's the, I can take a picture.
The light, it's just lights, right?
Yeah. The ice tree. Okay. So that will be, so I have three trees. Oh, you didn't hear this story. And this is a very quick story. I don't remember who we were with, but we were with someone and I was talking about wanting or having two trees and how I had just gotten a new tree for a graduation from my mom. And John went, and this was before my birthday, and John went, we have three trees. And I busted out laughing because he had admitted that he had bought me the ice tree from Costco before giving it to me for my birthday. I said, oh, really? We have three trees? And he went, oh, fuck, damn it. No, we have two trees. So I knew I was getting the iced tree from Costco. So that will be on the porch, and then we'll have our big tree in our living room, and then it is honestly, I think John really likes the tree upstairs. Like it comes on in the morning. So like the Christmas lights are on in the morning. We get ready. Like he can get ready for the morning and like we'll sit upstairs and like watch TV with like the tree, the glow of the tree. It's very nice.
I love that. I can't wait to see it. I almost stayed at your house this week, but then I had a guest. Jake built the guest room here, so it was fine. But
yeah,
I would love to come experience that joy sometime soon.
Great. You know, so. Well, you'll be here on Friday. You can see it then.
I know. I'm so excited. It'll be great. So, okay. Well, should we dive into this dumpster fire of a show?
Yeah, but let's take a quick break before we do.
All right. Today we are talking about season 19, episode 11 and 12, Training Day and Pick Yourself Up. We're like midway through. This is like the halfway point of the season.
We will be done before the holidays.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, you're right. Yeah. I'll read the first one.
Okay.
Surgeons, which it's so weird that Meredith is still like reading them.
I know. It doesn't really make sense to me, but she's probably making millions of dollars doing it. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Surgeons don't like to take no for an answer, especially when it comes to saving our patients. If your heart stops on our table, we'll fight to start it again. We'll begin chest compressions to resume blood flow. If that's not enough, we'll shock you. If we need to, we'll do it again and again. If that doesn't work, we'll inject epinephrine and start the process all over. The last thing we want is to give up on you. We're your doctors. We're all in. When it comes to saving lives, surgeons won't go down without a fight. Many of us refuse to give up easily in our own lives, too. We can be stubborn and competitive. We don't like to lose, but we're also human and can get discouraged. When that happens, we have to look for inspiration around us and find the strength to keep going. Meredith Gray.
In 1952, Dr. Virginia Apgar pioneered a scoring system to quickly evaluate a newborn's physical health. It's given at 1 minute and 5 minutes after birth, and it assesses the baby's appearance, pulse, reflexes, muscle tone, and breathing. The baby's medical team gets a score for each category, then adds them to gauge whether the baby needs immediate care. Designed to fight infant mortality, the idea was simple. If we knew which babies were in trouble, could we save them? Tests and algorithms don't tell the whole story. They're snapshots in time. There's not a roadmap for every uncertainty we meet. With some things, we just have to wait and see. We have to reach down inside ourselves and find that last piece of strength. As impossible as it can be to find, we have to rise to meet the occasion. We have to rise to keep going. Meredith Gray.
Shotgun workup. We have Jessica Hall, pulmonary fibrosis.
Ryan Jenkins, displaced rib fractures, right hemothorax, and lung contusion.
Marnie Young, pregnancy.
Benson Kwan, head laceration.
Andra, pregnancy, shoulder dystocia.
Tia Marwood, pregnancy.
Addison, I feel like she had a lot of other things wrong with her as well. I don't know why they're not listed. Addison Forbes Montgomery, dislocated shoulder.
Connor Marwood, prematurity and pneumothorax.
Norma Douglas, gonorrhea, gonococcal arthritis.
Maxine Anderson, gonorrhea.
And Hal Stillman, gonorrhea.
Love it.
Okay, rounding up the rounds. Here we go. Addison is at Grace Sloan Memorial to help teach a new class of fellows who have come to Seattle because they are OBGYN specialists, but their states do not support abortion. Protesters have heard about what Addison is doing with her mobile reproductive health vehicle and are outside the hospital extremely upset. One of the protesters throws a brick that says Montgomery murders through the window and it hits Benson. Clinic patients aren't able to come in via the entrance because of the protesters, so they start to enter through the main hospital. At the end of the day, Addison and the new fellow Tia are standing in the entryway when a car comes barreling through and hits them. Tia is 28 weeks pregnant. I should have written that in there. Teddy puts the entire hospital on a lockdown until they can verify that they are safe. Addison was only clipped by the car and her shoulder was dislocated, but it's quickly fixed. Mika has a hard time seeing Tia in surgery and ends up having a panic attack that Richard helps her through. Addison ends up having to deliver Tia's baby Connor prematurely, despite her wishes to keep him inside. After a long time, Tia wakes up to her husband, who tells her that Connor is okay. Joe begins to cry and heads into the elevator and is greeted by Link. He tells her she doesn't have to hold it in anymore, and she has a breakdown. Despite all of these hardships, Addison returns back to her mobile reproductive care vehicle and heads back out onto the road.
Simone admits to Jules that she has kissed Lucas. Meanwhile, Lucas is wondering if he is just at Grace Sloan because of his relationship to Meredith. He's having a rough day and having a hard time focusing on balancing his to-do list at work, as well as the things he needs to do at home. Nick gives him a teaching moment and tells him that Meredith would not have accepted him to the program if he didn't deserve it. Simone and Lucas spend time with a patient who talks to their partner about how one kiss changed their lives. And immediately after that phone call, Simone calls Trey and says they should get married next month in her grandparents' backyard.
Maggie's article about the impressive heart surgery that they did is finally published, and Winston doesn't have time to read it right away. When Maggie gets to it, she finds out that they cherry-picked what she said, and it sounds like Maggie is taking full credit and refers to Winston as an assistant. Teddy encourages her to talk to Winston right away, but she puts it off, and by the time that she gets to him, he has already read it and is very upset.
First notes. Mine is just about how the scene where Simone walks in the bathroom and Mika is shaving, it just felt like old Grays, you know, people coming in and out of the bathroom.
Yep. I have a note about that too, followed by when Lucas gets out of the shower at work. I said steam has never come out of the shower when I get out like that. Like I have never, like, that's such a Mark Sloan moment. Remember that always would happen with him?
I
feel like that was on purpose. Also, and I don't want to say this because this does sometimes happen.
You don't want to say this, but you're going to.
I don't want people to be mad at me for saying this because, again, I only work with like 30 couples a year and there's like a million couples in the entire world. But it's a very rare, and it does happen once in a while, but like how Trey is like, I'm going to pick a venue, I'm going to research them, and like it's that they like reverse it, you know, if it's a heterosexual couple.
Yeah.
And so I just thought that was like interesting that he is. I don't know if it's that he is just like wants to make sure she wants to marry him, so she's like up on it, or if he just really loves weddings. I don't know.
I think they're trying to maybe play into the idea that he wants to get married more than she does. And then at the end, it kind of flips where she's like, let's get married at home, and like is pushing to do it quickly because there is that tension between her and Lucas. And so it's like, fuck, I need to just like get married and move on.
Wouldn't it sort of be a red beige flag if your partner was like, let's get married next month? I'd be like, what'd you do? Like what? Like, I feel like that would be so from like a year from now to next month. I think some people might find that, I guess, maybe romantic, but I would be like, why?
Yeah.
What happened?
I don't know. Like, I guess, I mean, it makes sense when she says like, so my grandma can still come. Like, I think if there's like family involved or like my dad's like sick or something, like that makes sense. But if you guys don't have anything like that and you're just like, why wait? It seems like, and your plans are to have a big wedding, then it's right. Like, yeah, why are you pushing us to do this so quickly?
Yeah. So, okay. This whole episode, I feel like the two episodes, it's actually good. I think we watched them in a row. I think is meant to be like the big dramatic thing that happens. Kind of like, it's like the ferry boat crash.
Yeah.
Or,
yeah.
you know, the shooting. Like, it's this like double episode crisis that happens. And I really am blown away by this season how much they are tackling like the Roe v. Wade and like abortion topic.
Yeah.
Like, it's in every episode almost. And so I guess like good on Grey's for like taking a stance. However, I don't know that I felt, I don't know that this topic, which is a big deal and is like a crisis, felt, they were trying to play it off like a ferry boat, I feel like. And it didn't have the same, it didn't like have that effect on me as much as like an actual like weather or like a crash type of a thing. I don't know. I guess someone got hit by a car. So I don't know what I'm saying. I guess I just, it was just a lot.
I don't know. I think it just comes down to like not being connected to the characters. That's always what it comes yeah. down to. It's like this, you know, poor woman who gets hit by the car who's pregnant. Like, we're just not connected to
her. We just met her.
Yeah. We're not connected to her at all. And Addison right. ends up being fine, which also like was insane that Addison like did a delivery with like a dislocated shoulder. Yeah. Like, why weren't they telling Addison to sit the fuck down?
Yeah, I don't, they're like, why another doctor couldn't have done that. Also, I hate when they do the thing, I guess it was because it was happened in between the episodes where like you don't know if Addison is okay or not. Mm-hmm. And then when she's being rolled in, they like, she pops up and she's like, guys, I'm fine. And you're supposed to be like, oh my God, like, thank God I was worried. But like, I was never worried.
Yeah. Yeah. Were we worried initially? I don't think we were.
I don't think so. It would be insane to bring Addison back and then kill her.
Yeah.
Like, like as a guest star, you know, it would just be so bizarre. And I don't, what's her face?
Oh, Kate Walsh.
Thank you. She, I want to give it to her. Like, I do feel like out of all of the other, like when I say older cast members, I mean ones that have been on the show for a few seasons, she really was like acting more than them. You know, like that breakdown scene
yeah.
With Bailey when she like, she really is giving it her all to tell this story. And I appreciate that. It just feels so disconnected because she's a character that hasn't been on the show for years. And yeah, this Tia girl is new. Also, I'm doing that thing where I'm like, what is she from? She looks so familiar to me. I need to Google it. But
I'm not sure.
But yeah, so I don't know. I like, what were your thoughts about the whole thing?
I don't know. That first episode, like, just kind of annoyed me. Like, in general, like, I don't know why.
Uh-huh.
Like, for instance, I mean, like, again, I'm happy that they're showing that this clinic is open and that we're providing abortions and we're teaching like other doctors and like, okay, great. But that scene where like the woman goes into labor and they all start singing In the Jungle, I was like,
oh my God.
I was like, no. This is so annoying. And then when Bailey's like in the village, I was like, what the fuck is going on? This is so absurd. And honestly, I don't feel like would ever happen with doctors. Like, I do not imagine doctors like being like, let's just sing In the Jungle to make this woman feel comfortable.
There are so many doctors standing in the hall watching also, which I thought was insane. If I'm giving birth, I did appreciate that lady was like, I paid extra for the quiet room with the whatever, you know.
Yeah.
But like, that I have a note that says, if this happened to me, I would scream at them. Like, do not sing a song to me
yeah.
while I'm giving birth without my partner, without pain meds, with everyone in the hospital looking at me. There's people like in the, I don't get why they didn't move her somewhere. I guess because it was in the clinic. don't they have curtains in there? It was insane.
It was insane. And I hated that they sang that song. Like, imagine. Yeah, you can imagine no. you're about to give birth and someone like singing In the Jungle to you. I'd be like, go fuck yourself. Like, no.
Literally. Also, there's that joke like Addison, she's like, how many, have you ever heard the phrase, how many doctors it takes to deliver a baby? And I was like, just stop. Also, I'm in this hypnobirthing class right now. They make a big deal about like language that you use around birth and how they don't like the language of a doctor delivers the baby, because really the mother delivers and the doctor receives. Like,
yeah.
The mother is the one doing all of the work. And so it was funny how I've only had like two of those classes, but I was like, Addison, you aren't delivering that baby. That mom is doing it. Like, yeah. I was getting like full on whatever. And so, yeah, it was just a terrible scene. I don't even know why. Even the joke that they made in the beginning where they think that the woman who's 34 weeks pregnant is the one that wants the abortion, even that like wasn't funny and like was just dumb.
Yeah. No, I didn't. Yeah, I didn't so care for that. Also, this is a very random thing, but it's a part of like this whole clinic thing. And then like the car accident happened, or not the car accident, you know what I mean? The car smashing. And they show up to the hospital with
an ambulance.
In an ambulance. And I wrote a note. I was like, isn't the clinic directly next to the hospital ER bay? Like, we've seen in that storm. Remember, Levi runs across from the clinic.
Right.
To the ER, but then they have to stop in the ambulance. So what? They put her in an ambulance and moved 2 feet? I like did not understand that.
I didn't either. And I didn't know if it had something to do with the protesters, but at that point they were gone. And that's why they were outside, because they had cleared the area. So yeah, that part confused me as well.
That felt like a goof.
It sort of did. I do know, though, that the opening of the second episode is that one which we'll talk. We have notes in trivia. I'm just going to read it now, actually, because it's the opening sequence of the episode is one continuous shot, marking the first time in the show's history that an entire act features one shot. After director Kevin McKidd spent a long period of time putting the shot together with stand-ins, the main cast and crew rehearsed for a whole half a day and only did 2 takes of the entire scene, the second take being the one used. Because if you notice it, like, from when they start wheeling Tia and Addison in to like all till the Grays sign comes up, that it just like pans. It feels very frantic, which is, I think, its point.
Yeah.
But so I don't know if they thought having an ambulance come in would make it more dramatic, you know?
Sure. But it doesn't make any sense.
But do you remember that being like a big deal when they talked about that?
Weirdly, I don't. Remember that?
Okay. Also, I just think about when they do things like that, how stressful it would be, because if you are the person that messes up, then like the whole take, well, I guess that's why they do 2 takes, but no, the whole point is to not have to cut it, you know, is to like have it be one continuous thing. So all I could think about when they were saying their lines was, I was like, oh, I wonder if they're so nervous. Like if they like Bailey has like one little line somewhere and I'm like, what if she forgot to say that? Like, it just gave me the fear of like when you were in theater in high school and like, you just really can't fuck up your lines.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyways, that was a thing about the second one.
I didn't really realize that. And I don't remember that being a big thing. But I mean, good on them for doing that. Has Grays ever really done that before?
I don't think so. I think I only knew that because I must have been on our Instagram account that day and like they were all talking about it. You know, like the Instagram accounts we follow.
Yeah.
It makes me think of that. There's that one war movie.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Do you know what I'm talking about? Is it 1912 or 19? Is it that one?
Is it?
Yeah, there's that whole scene that's filmed when he's running. That was like done in one take.
Yeah. Yeah, it's 1918.
So, yeah, I can picture what it looks like. It's 19 something.
Oh, I don't think this is right. What is, it's not, that is a movie, is 1918. But wait, what is that movie?
If we search war movie film.
1917? That's it.
Yeah.
1917.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, we were. It's like Sam Mendes directed.
Yes,
it. Okay.
Yes. Yep. Ooh. That one scene. So, anyways, that's like the only. I'm sure a lot of things do it, but I just remember it specifically in that one scene.
Yeah, I remember
he, like,
that
falls
too.
Falls while running and they like kept it.
Yeah.
Anyways. So, you know, war movies and Grays.
Yeah.
That's
similar vibes.
What our new podcast is called. Yeah.
But overall, I mean, you asked me how I felt about it. And overall, like, I feel like they were trying to give us that, like, oh, my God, feeling. And I had it a little bit when the car, like, came up. But then, I don't know, it didn't hit as hard as all of the other seasons of, like, the big episode with the big traumatic thing.
Right. I would say the small parts about it are what hit the most. Like, for example, I really enjoyed the part when Richard grounds Yasuda. Because I love, like, you know, those are such like actual methods, like the cold to bring you back and then naming five things in the room. Like those little moments felt real-ish. But, and I will say too that I did get, just because I shouldn't be watching traumatic births right now, the they are in every episode of this show. When Tia wakes up and her husband is there and she like freaks out, I can't imagine being pregnant and then looking down and not being pregnant anymore and not knowing what the fuck happened. And so like that little part of like, and then him reassuring her that he's okay, that got me a little bit, I will admit, but I think it's because I'm in a moment of weakness.
I would assume so. Yeah. That would be so traumatic. And she's probably going to need, like, even though her child ends up being okay, I think she's probably going to need a lot of therapy because of like the traumatic birth.
So scary to not be present for your birth, I would imagine. You know what I mean? Like to not, I feel like that is going to take, years of therapy to have not been there when it happened, like how disconnected you'd be. And then also to just see your baby on FaceTime is really scary and like strange too. I didn't know this. This is maybe my ignorance about this topic, which I'm just now learning about birth now because I have to do it. But in this class, I also learned, and I didn't really, and my grandma was talking to me about this, like prior to 1960 something, right? Like, so first of all, your partner was not allowed in the room when you gave birth. Second of all, you would be awake until the part when like, they would, like, I would assume baby was, like, in the birth canal, like, they could see him. Mm-hmm. And they would put you under anesthesia and use forceps and pull the baby out. So, like, my grandma, for her first birth, like, woke up and the baby had been born.
Whoa, that's really weird. That would have been in, like, in hospital births. That's what they did.
Correct. Sorry. Yeah. Not, like, not at home or, you know, with, like, midwives or if anything, but yeah, like hospital births thought that it would be better because that they like, I don't know if it was that they didn't think women could handle the pain. Like I'm still reading about it, but like that. Yeah. And I don't know if this is across the board. I just know specifically my grandma was like, yeah, that's what they did. And I was like, what? That is crazy.
Yeah, that is crazy.
So anyways, they're like, okay, good night.
And then you wake up and then
and your baby's there with a squished head. So I got a little emotional about that. And, but then everything seemed to be fine. I would like to not watch any more traumatic births.
Yeah. I hope there's no more in this season for you because there have been a lot of them, I feel like.
Yeah, there sure has. Addison, do you know what PRT stands for? I know that that's like what the vehicle thing is, but I don't know what it stands for.
I do not know. No.
Okay, great. I wrote reproductive health vehicle is what I named it because I was like, I can't write PRT because I don't know what this stands for.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Cool.
Should we talk about the Winston and Maggie of it all?
Yeah, how unfortunate.
So the article comes out. It's in the Sound Science article. And in it, Maggie is quoted saying she assembled a team of assistants and they printed that.
Yikes.
But she also says that she like names Winston at some point, but like they didn't print that. And so she goes to Teddy being like, help me. I like that Teddy was like, yeah, like, what do you need me to do? And was like willing to help.
Uh-huh.
But then also says like, okay, we'll put in for there to be an edit or whatever. But until that happens, like, you need to go talk to your husband. Take it from me with Owen and, like, not talking to your spouse, like, it doesn't usually go well. And so then when Maggie goes to talk to Winston, it's not good.
He's already read it.
Yeah.
He's already read it. And I don't think that Maggie, like, I truly don't believe that she meant to do that. I think it was just unfortunate. But I also think that she doesn't go in there to apologize. She goes in there to defend herself.
Exactly. And I like what, you know, Winston says. I don't have the whole quote, but just how he like says all these different things that she could say, like, say you're sorry, like, say you love me and you actually mean it, say you respect me and you mean it. But like, she doesn't say sorry.
No.
And I wonder what that's about. Like, I think she probably is sorry to some extent, but like, does she just not have the skills to be able to communicate that? I don't really get, other than, I mean, they're writing this in this way for them to not be doing well, but like, I don't understand what the block is for Maggie.
She feels like one of those people that she rarely messes up. And when she does, it's like she, it's still, even when she messes up, it might not have been intentional. And so like she can't, it's too hard for her to admit that, like to be like not perfect. And so I think it's like a vulnerability thing for her that she cannot get past. Also, because in her reality, she's like, I actually didn't mess up. The article messed up. You know, said, like, why aren't you understanding this? It's like she has a really hard time jumping out of her reality to apologize.
And just like empathizing of like, I can imagine for you how hurtful that would be reading that, you know, even if it's not.
Right.
Her fault, because she did also say that she assembled a team of assistants. Like, she did say that. So.
Right. I'd be so mad if I were Winston, honestly, like if, because he was like 50-50 of that.
Yeah.
Of that surgery. And just like on top of the respect thing, I think for him, it's like, you literally said you don't respect me. And here's another example of that.
Right.
Even though that's not the original thing she said. I thought it was interesting that, who is it that says to Winston, it would be like, who is it, Owen that operates with him? Yeah. And is like, it would be a shame to lose you in this specialty or what? I can't remember. Cause like Winston does that risky surgery on the guy whose lung was going to be donated.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah,
ends
yeah.
up, it ends up doing well, but Owen kind of gives him a thing like, don't switch fellow, like don't switch, like you are valued here, which I thought that was, I didn't know like what the point of that was, I guess, but he's talented. He's not like, he's not second to Maggie. And so I think it was just showing that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Something I wrote in here, I'm trying to figure out if that had to do with the surgery Winston did, or maybe it was on Tia, but it's called a Pringle maneuver. What the fuck is a Pringle maneuver?
No idea. I don't have that note. And that sounds awful.
Is that when you make Pringles look like duck lips?
Yeah.
And then,
yeah.
I think that's what it is. Yeah. So this is the beginning of the end for Winston and Maggie. Should we talk about Lucas?
Sure.
I kept waiting for the speech where Nick talks to him about, is it ADHD that he
Yeah, but that's not this episode, is it?
But it didn't happen, but I felt like this was the beginning of that, which it did still sort of feel like he's been fine up until now, and now is like he suddenly can't focus on anything. Like he can't remember to do the things he has to do for the house. He's forgetting what to do at work, but he's not smart. Like he knows these things. I really thought Nick was going to give him that speech, and then it didn't happen. So I'm assuming it's coming soon.
They're laying the groundwork for it.
Exactly. Yeah. So he is just having a hard time. I thought it was weird that he said, Meredith left and I don't know what I'm doing here. Like, I thought that was a line that like Nick should have said, not Lucas. It was because they never interacted.
And they never interacted. Like, I don't even think once. Like, Meredith watched him
Amelia.
from the OR or from the gallery. And that's when, like, we found out who he was. But I think that's the only time, like, Meredith even acknowledged who he was.
Yeah. So it was such a weird. I literally was like, I think he said Nick's line. Like, I think they got it confused. We also learned from Nick that he receives about one text a week from Meredith, but that's like it. And I hated that Maggie was like, she's complicated. I'm like, she's being a dick. Like, she's not being nice. Like, don't give her credit, you know? How hard is it to text someone?
Yeah. Or just end it.
Right. Right.
Like, I don't know.
I would be. And then he was like, she pretended not to hear me, which I guess this is us realizing that, like, we know that he knew that she could hear him and that wasn't, interesting. I just thought of this. He pretended not to hear her at the end of last season when she calls out his name and then she pretended not to hear him. So there's no reason why they should be together, which ends up happening. This is silly. Oh, I feel like I'm talking a lot, but I just want to say I got served on TikTok that whole scene. I think I texted it to you, even though I was like, she's not going to watch this right now. The whole scene when Meredith tells Riggs that Megan is back, and then like that whole reaction. And I was like, this was good. Yeah. This was the last time that like I felt Meredith had anything with anyone. And like, it just made me sad that we're not in that. Because even that, I think at the time, I'm like, it's not old Grey's. And it isn't, but it's so much even better than this.
It's so much better. It's just tough.
That guy's a much better actor.
I mean, I'm not like, we've said this multiple times, and people have gotten irritated with us before for podcasting and shitting on Grey's Anatomy. But like, you have to admit that season 19 is not good. It's just not.
No.
Like,
it's not the same.
It's not the same. And it sucks because I don't know. I feel like there could be a way that it could be, or maybe not. I don't know.
So the part that I liked best is what we're going to talk about in post-op, which is Maxine and Norma, her friend. But do you have any other random notes?
We randomly had like Ben Warren and...
Yeah, I was like, is this a crossover? I don't know her name, Karina's wife.
Yeah.
I also didn't know they were married.
I didn't either.
Watch Station 19.
Yeah, I think that's really all I had.
I didn't know. Well, I thought it was like interesting. They are like Ben and I don't know her name. Apologies to anyone that watches Station 19 are like, wow, this is one day where they were in danger. And like, we do this to them every day. I don't know if it's just because we don't live in as big of a city, but I don't feel nervous when Jake leaves for work every day.
That's good.
I don't know if I should. Should I be? I don't know. I just feel like half the time they're hanging out in a house and then sometimes they go on a medical call.
But has Jake been in a fire yet?
Yeah, he's been in two or three, I think.
Oh, yeah.
But I just feel like, they're not to the extent, like it's like a house fire and like his only review was it's hot.
Cool. Oh, yeah, because he saved cats, right?
Yeah, well, that was a different one, but he did save some cats. I mean, he's pulled a person out since that has happened, which is, like, wild.
He did?
But I don't know that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they were awake. But it was, like, someone who was under some influences, perhaps.
Oh, wow.
And having a little bit of an episode. They did do that. But it's always like when it's a house fire, the ones he's been, it's like one room in the house. You know, it's not like the whole house has been on fire yet. And there's always multiple trucks that get there at once. So it's actually like very rare that you're the person that goes in because there's like so many of them that arrive.
Right.
I don't know. I guess it's just not Seattle. Big cities that have such bigger buildings and stuff like that. So.
Yeah.
We should have him on sometime.
We should, and hear what he has to say about it. He'll say it's hot.
Last time he was here, he was talking about mattresses.
Yeah. Now he's talking about how fires are hot. It's
exactly.
Good content. So, you want to do notes and trivia?
Let's do it. This episode's title originated from the song Training Day, originally sung by Lasky featuring Mo Stack.
Huh. It scored three.
These are actually my two names for my future child.
It scored 3.36 million viewers.
Speaking of names, a friend I was with this week was like, what about the boy named Owen? And I was like, absolutely not.
No. What if you did name your Jake kid Mostack?
Oh,
Mostack Moore.
And also, Jake also said yesterday, what about the name Lincoln? I was like, I can't do any Grey's names.
Yeah.
This marks the directorial debut of Kim Raver. She is the sixth actor from the main cast of Grey's Anatomy to direct, following Chandra Wilson, Kevin McKidd, Ellen Pompeo, Jesse Williams, and Giacomo Giannotti.
Scott Speedman returns as Nick Marsh after a three-episode absence. He remains
Didn't even miss him.
He remains credited among the series' main cast despite not being credited for the three episodes he did not appear in. This happened only once before when Jessica Capshaw had an extended maternity leave at the start of season 13.
I miss her. This episode's title originated from the song Pick Yourself Up, originally composed and written for the 1936 film Swing Time, in which it was performed by Fred Astaire.
And it scored 3.7 million viewers.
This is the opening. We already talked about the opening shot. So very exciting. This was the second take, apparently. First one wasn't as good. Catherine Fox Award. I mean, I feel like we have to give it to Addison because she, like, is doing the most.
Yeah.
But
I don't know who else we would give it to besides Bailey singing In the Jungle. I mean, Teddy kind of crushed it as
Yeah, Teddy chief. Was a good chief.
But I would probably have to give it to Addison.
I would say Addison. Yeah, she's really... Also, though, I'm like, you got to take care of yourself, girl. Like, you got to fill your cup before you fill others. And right now, her cup is not full.
Yeah, that's very true.
So, and rating the episode, I'm going to give it a 4.5. I just can't. It just didn't do anything for me.
Oh, 4.5. If you're going to go there, I'll go there. I was afraid to give it under a 5 because people would be mad at us. But I initially on my notes gave it a 0 out of 10. But I don't really mean that. 4 out of 5 seems like an appropriate rating.
Yeah, that seems good. So make sure you stick around for post-op if you are a patron. Otherwise, we will see you next week with episodes 13 and 14. And we are going to talk about post-op, Maxine, and Norma. So time of death is 10:59.
Beep.